Okay, we're bringing that, again, the top of Tehillim and Aleph. The Mishnah here is discussing the issue of Ger Toshav now, because the Mishnah laid out a principle, which is that Hakod Golim Ayyudei Israel, Israel Golim Ayyudo. So that there's a two-way street, that all Yisraelim have the ability to be Goleh and to be Nigleh. So that they can go create both situations. And then the Gemara says, Chutz mi Ger Toshav. So that's what does it mean, Chutz mi Ger Toshav? What is it excluded from? And then you make a second stage, which is Ger Toshav, right? Eno Goleh Ela Yedei Ger Toshav. So the Mishnah has two statements. The first statement, which seems to indicate that a Ger Toshav is outside the normal policy or outside the normal dinim of Galut that referred to Israel. And yet, in the last part of the Mishnah, it seems to be that a Ger Toshav, with reference to another Ger Toshav, has the dinim of Israel. So if you wanted to, and this is going to be the statement of the Gemara in a second, but you wanted to see some sort of consistency. If a Ger Toshav is not relevant to Galut, then let it be the case straight through and through. Right? Whereas if he has relevance to Galut, why isn't he also relevant by Israel? So that's what the Gemara asks here. Based on our Mishnah, it sounds like Alma Ger Toshav Ovid Kochavim Hu. That is the status of Ovid Kochavim. Therefore, Israel does not go into Galut because of him, and he doesn't go into Galut when he kills Israel. So when it says Eima Seifa, what do you do to Seifa? Ger Toshav Goleh Ayudei Ger Toshav Ger Toshav. By the way, this is why the Gra changes the Girsa in the Mishnah to read like the Gemara over here. The Mishnah uses a double negative. Enu Goleh Ela Al Yedeh. Uses two negatives to create a positive. Over here, the statement, it's a clear statement. Ger Toshav Goleh Ayudei Ger Toshav. It's a positive statement. That's what the Gra changes the Girsa in the Mishnah to. But what do you see from the Seifa? The Ger Toshav Goleh Ayudei Ger Toshav, which means that Galut is Shayach to a Ger Toshav. Now, if I was talking about Ovid Kochavim, if I said Ovid Kochavim, first of all, is not Nigleh, right, when he kills Israel. Number two is Israel is not Goleh when he kills the Ovid Kochavim. And Ovid Kochavim, who kills another Ovid Kochavim, Galut is not even in the picture at all. So how come all of a sudden here, the Ger Toshav is in the Parsha of Galut, yet when it comes to any interaction with Israel, he's not in the Parsha. So Amar Rav Kahana, lo kasha. Kan be Ger Toshav Sharak Ger Toshav. There's a difference here. Ger Toshav, Sharag Ger Toshav, goes into Galut, because, and we're going to see in a second that there's reason for that, or evidence to that fact, because the Parsha is Shayach, the Gabe Ger Toshav. On the other hand, when a Ger Toshav interacts with Yisrael, there it's not sufficient. Galut is not sufficient for him, and therefore he doesn't go into Galut. And we're going to see that throughout the Perek, right? There are two reasons why a person will not go to Galut. Right? One possibility is that he's too Karov the Mezid. Mean that the severity of the crime is too high, and therefore Galut is not sufficient. The other possibility is that the leniency or the lightness of the crime does not require Galut. So over here, we're going to decide that it doesn't go.
But there's no chidush to me. The Gemara answers, we know what's.
We know from the Mishnah, right, correct. The Gemara has a Havamina that it should be different, that it's okay over in Chachavim. The Gemara comes along and says, no, it's not like over in Chachavim, there's this difference. Now you ask, okay, we know that from the Mishnah already laid out such a difference. So now the Gemara is going to say, right, exactly. They're basically rephrasing the question. And that Gemara says, Ikad Rami Karaya Adod. So now you have, there are some that ask the question through the Psukim, and now it becomes more apparent why the Gemara is answering this or what the Mishnah is doing. Tichtiv, as it says, Bimidbar in the Parsha of Galut, bin Parshat Maseh, it says, V'livnei Israel, V'lager, V'la Toshav, B'tocham, T'yena Sheisharim. So over here, in the list here, it's a Ger Toshav. I mean, you have a Ger Toshav is mentioned in the list of people who the Arei Miklat are relevant to. Uchtiv, but afterwards it says, V'yu Lachem Arim Lemiklat. They say, V'yu Lachem, Int Lachem, V'lo Legerim. That's a miut of Lachem. So how do I reconcile between these two psukim? Why does one pasuk say that the Arei Miklat are shayach, or relevant to a Ger Toshav? And another pasuk seems to indicate that the Arei Miklat are not relevant at all to a Ger Toshav. So Amar Rav Kahana, lo kasha, kan be Ger Toshav, sharag Yisrael, kan be Ger Toshav, sharag Ger Toshav. So this gives you more of the reasoning behind what the Gemara is speaking about. The Gemara is saying, yes, the differentiation of the Mishnah is the questions you asked, that's the answer. There is such a differentiation. Why is there such a differentiation? That comes out of the psukim. I have one pasuk that is inclusive of a Ger Toshav. I have one pasuk that is exclusive of a Ger Toshav. How do I reconcile between those two? I say, by Ger Toshav, the Ger Toshav Galut is relevant. By a Ger Toshav interacting with Israel, Galut is not relevant, again, because the severity of the crime will not allow him to go to Galut. So I says, very many. Lefichach, Ger, ve'oved kochavim, shargo, neragim. right? That they who kill, these are murderers, right? And Ger and Ovel Kovim are murderers, they're put to death. Tani, and you see here in this statement, an equivalence. Ger, Dumya, Dovi, Kochavim. The Braita is making a statement of Ger and Ovel Kochavim in the same word, the same phrase, which indicates that it sees them as equal. So Ma'ovi Kochavim, Lo Shna de Kato Bar Mine. Ovel Kochavim makes no difference. He kills Bar Mine, his own species. But what does it mean here? It means that he kills another Ovel Kochavim. Lo Shna de Kato de Lav Bar Mine. What does it mean, Lav Bar Mine? It means he kills a Yisrael. It's irrelevant if he kills another Ovid Kachamim, it's irrelevant if he kills Israel. Neherag. The penalty for him, or the verdict that will be rendered in such a case, is Neherag. He'll be put to death. So Avgir Toshav, let's say the same thing. Lo Shna de Katal Bar Mine. It should make no difference whether he kills his own kind. His own kind here being another Gir Toshav. Velo Shna Katal de Lav Bar Mine. It makes no difference if he kills someone who's not his own kind, meaning he kills Israel. Neherag. Now that goes against the conclusion of our Mishnah and the Gemara, which is over here. This Braita seems to indicate that Bar Mineh he gets killed for, like a Ben Noach. A Ben Noach is Chayav Mita. If there's a killing, he's Chayav Mita, period. There's nothing to discuss. So over here also, why don't we say the same thing? So Amar Rav Chista Lokasha. Kan Sharago Derech Yerida. Kan Sharago Derech Aliyah. Now this answer defies some logic, because it's almost the opposite of what you thought. So here he says, Kasher go derech yirida, and what? There are there. What? Derech yirida. When it comes to derech yirida, what's the din of Israel? Goli. The Israel goli. Iunami sogi lebi galut. Therefore, for him, it's enough that he goes into galut. So ger toshav that kills another ger toshav derech yirida. So just like Israel would go into galut in that case, so too the ger toshav would go into galut. Derech aliyah. And derech aliyah, the Israel patur, who? Nerak. Right? So there. The case where Yisrael and Derech Aliyah cannot go into Galut, the Ger Toshav will be killed on that. Now why this defies logic is, let's think about this. If I have to ask you here, why is it that Derech Yirida, a person goes into Galut, and Derech Aliyah, he does not go into Galut?
Zerat
HaKatuf. Zerat HaKatuf, Atomer. Any other suggestions about, why? Logically, argue it logically.
Because you said that that's the onus, maybe the onus is too much, but that's the derech of
Shugeg. Right. Derech Aliyah is a greater form of onus. Derech Yiridah, there's a higher chance, first of all, of the item falling with Derech Yiridah. I mean, that person has to be more aware of the fact. I mean, that he's actually lowering the item, the force of the item is going that direction. And he has to be Otsir, he has to hold back, right, the koach of the item going down. There you would suggest that, okay, Galut. Derech Aliyah, for two reasons, is Yoter Onus. One is that, first of all, he's lifting it, and all his koach is going towards pulling the item the other direction. So the fact that it actually falls, and the Mishnah actually words it differently. By the case of Derech Yiridah, what does it say? It falls out of his hands, and it goes down. By Derech Aliyah, how does it say it falls? Nifsach HaChevel. The rope broke. Not that he released it, but the rope snapped on the way up, which is a greater form of Onus. So what the logical argument, which you probably make, is that Derech Yiridah gets galut because that is right. It's the severity of the crime allows you or requires you to get galut. Derech Aliyah is a greater form of onus, and therefore galut is doesn't need to go to galut. Severity of the crime does not demand galut. We have that differentiation also show up somewhere else, which is by sonet. Somewhere, if we are worried about a sonet, which is that we are worried. How do you know that he's a shogeg or a mezid? Right, one is intent and one is lack of intent. So we want to know, does the person have intent? Is he soneh, if he has intent or not intent? So he say, by derech yiridah, there's a greater likelihood that we should suspect that there's intent here. Because he's lowering something, and then the person's under him. So when he drops it on them, you know, maybe we should be suspicious of his intent. And then if it's derech aliyah, and then the person is under him, there it's less likely to say that he was intentionally trying to kill the individual. So again, the differentiation shows up in two different areas, and the logical argument is that Yiridah is more Chamur, and Aliyah is Yoter Lekula. Now listen to what the Gemara is doing with that. So the Gemara says now, a place where a Yisrael gets Galut, because it's Derech Yiridah, so too a Ger Toshav will get Galut. Because why? Alright, so let's say they're on equal footing. Yisrael to Yisrael, and a Ger Toshav to Ger Toshav, equal footing. But now, by a Yisrael, by Derech Aliyah, where he's Patur from Galut, why is he Patur from Galut? Because it's kula. It's more meikel. It's more of an onus. And what do we say happens to the ger toshav? Neherag. He's put to death. Right? So the statement, he's saying, yeah, we'll make such a differentiation. But the logic is almost the opposite of what you would expect in this situation. The other thing you have to explain, which Tosus asks over here, is how is this Dumiyodovi Chachavim in the end? In the end, a Ger Toshav is not Dumiyodovi Chachavim that he's put in that Braita. In the end, a Ger Toshav is only killed in the one instance where it's Derech Aliyah. But Derech Aliyah, he goes to Galut, and Ovi Chachavim never goes to Galut. But also says, at least, at least here he's at least similar to him in one aspect. So that would be enough to qualify in the Braito. But you still have that issue. So now, isn't this a Kal v'chomer? Now Rava obviously is they're dealing with the logical inconsistency here. Right. Umad derech yirida, disrael goli, ihunami sagi le bigalut. It's sufficient for him to go galut. Derech aliyah, disrael patu, ihunerag. I mean that Rava asked the problem. He sees the issue with the logical squad here. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava suggests a different way to solve the problem. Be'omer Mutar. This is the same Rava we had at the beginning of the Perek that explained Mezid to be Be'omer Mutar. But the case here is Omer Mutar. Amalei Abaye Omer Mutar Anusu. Right, so that's it. Wait, when you're talking about Omer Mutar is an Anusu. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know. How is he supposed to know about this? So Amalei Shani Omer. Right, I say Omer Mutar Karov Mezidu. And Omer Mutar is not an Anus, right? He is a Karov Mezid. Therefore, I can explain to you the difference now. In a case where it's Shogeg, Ger Toshav, it's a Shogeg, right? Then I could say he goes into Galut. In a case where he says Omer Mutar, right? Maybe in that instance, he'll be in Iraq because he's a Karov Mezid. Now that makes more sense. If I want to differentiate and say one case against Galut and the other case is going to be in Iraq, I want a case that's more Chamur. So now when I say Karov the Mezid, that makes sense. A Shogeg goes to Galut. Someone who's Karov the Mezid gets killed. As opposed to when I say Derech Yirida and Derech Aliyah, where I say Derech Yirida goes into Galut, that's a Shogeg. Derech Aliyah, which is Karov the Ones, is killed. That seems inconsistent in the logic. V'azdu l'tamayu. And they each go according to their own reasoning over here. This is referring to Rav Chista. Right, that does not use Omer Mutar, whereas Rava, who says that he calls it Omer Mutar, the Itmar, Kesavur Behema, he thought that it was an animal, Venimsa Adam, and then in the end it turns out to be a person. Knani, right, he thought it was a Knani, and in the end it turns out it's a Ger Toshav. I mean that this person is aiming to kill, but it turns out that he kills the person the object that he kills is not exactly what he expected in this case. Rava says in these cases, Chayav. Right, because why? He says, Omer Mutar, Karov the Mezid. Because Omer Mutar is Karov the Mezid. Now, obviously, this is not a case of Omer Mutar over here. It's not a case where he's saying this is Mutar. But when he says, Kasavur Behema, like for instance, when he thinks it's an animal, it's like Omer Mutar, because he should have differentiated, he should have looked into the situation more carefully. The fact that he didn't look into the situation more carefully is the equivalent of Omer Mutar. What's the problem with Omer Mutar? The problem with Omer Mutar is that he lacks knowledge. He lacks a certain amount of information that he should have had. Right? That's a problem, Bonamar, Tinok Shinishba. The problem with Tinok Shinishba is that he wasn't taught what he needs to know. He's missing in the information. So again, when I say Omer Mutar says that I thought this was Mutar. So now you recall it. What he's making is basically a claim of ignorance of the law. What's the solution to ignorance of the law? We tell him to go learn the law. Right? That's not an excuse. And that's what Rava says. Rava says, Omer Mutar is Karov the Mezid because of the ignorance of the law is no excuse. Go and learn it. So over here too, when you say Kasavar Behema, you thought it was an animal, and it turns out to be a human being, we say you didn't look into the situation enough. You should have made greater efforts to determine what was happening. So the Gemara categorizes these two in the same, you know, plane, which is that the need for additional clarification, whether it's clarification in knowledge or clarification of the situation, those should have the same din. And therefore over here, when Rava says, when you thought it was a behema, it turns out to be a human being, that's the equivalent of Omer Mutar, and it's Karov the Mezid, and therefore you're Chayav. Rav Chisda in that case says Patur. But he says, Patur, Omer Mutar, Anusu. Omer Mutar is someone who is a complete Anus, because true, right, he could have, if he had looked into it more, but he is, at this point, ignorant of the law. And since he's ignorant, we can't have expectations of him, that he should know better, because he doesn't know better. And same thing over here, when he thought it was a behema, and it turns out it was an Adam, true, he could have, if he had really made a huge effort, he would have found out the difference, but at this point, he doesn't have that information. Since he's lacking that information, he's karov the anusu, and therefore he'll be patur in these cases. So that's why Rava, in our case, answered Omer Mutar, and Rav Chisda wasn't willing to use the answer of Omer Mutar, because according to Rav Chisda, Omer Mutar is patur, and that won't solve your problem. That won't help you over here. Now, there is a case, we saw this actually earlier in the, we're going to see this actually coming up in the Perek. We also saw it in Sanhedrin, but there is a din about a person who was Nitkaven, Laroget Beima, right, the Haragat Adam, or other situations where Nitkaven, Haragat Kutiv, Haragat Israel. Over there we had that it was a, right, Machlokes Tanaim as to what the answer is. So how come over here, all of a sudden, the Gemara seems to be differentiating between this case? Doesn't even talk about the Machloket Tanaim, about here where you make a mistake about who the victim is. So Tosfos wants to be mechalek and say the cases are different about who's present over here. So he says, Ishlomar, so Tosfos says here, it's just the Tosfos Domer Mutar, I mean Rav Chisda, I'm sorry, it's just the last line there. It says, Ishlomar, the El Mayri, you're going to Ika Behema, the Adam Lefanav. There's both a man and animal form. Nitzkavin lebeima v'ragadam. The mistake over there is that there are two objects, two victims that are there. There's an ein beima and an adam, and he intends to kill the beima, but ends up killing the adam. Avohach, in our case, lo toto varsh nitzkavin imsei shu adam. Over here, his victim is exactly who he thought. There was no mistake, and he hit the object. The problem is that he didn't know what the object, he thought the object was a beima, and it turns out it's an adam. So over here, mishum achi kamarav mishum korav the meizit. So whereas in the case where you have two objects in front of you and he intends for one and ends up hitting the other, there we have the machloket tanaim, or over there we can possibly say that it's shogeg, right, or anus, which was what we had in the Braita. The Braita over here said they came to include mitkavin le beima v'aragat adam are excluded from those that go to galut. Adam. Right, there's a close department mitzkavim v'mar ragadam. So lomali kwa, what do I need a pasuk to teach me that? Tikolei mishum t'chashiv over mutar. It's a equivalent of over mutar. So that's where Tosfos differentiates over here. The case over there is where you have two objects and you make a mistake. You intend for one and you end up hitting the other. Over here, there's only one object and you mistake the identity of the object. Over there, you can say that's equivalent to Omer Mutar and that's Karov Le Mezid. Okay. So now, Etve Rovo de Rav Chisda. So Rovo challenges Rav Chisda's position. In Chameit, Alisha Asher Lakachto. So this is talking about Avram's experience, right, with Abimelech. So there, Abram's experience, it says, you are going to die because Ala Isha Asher Lakachta. So my love, what does it mean that you're going to die? Bidei Adam. Velo, so he says, if that's Bidei Adam, that's a proof to me. Why did Abimelech take Sarah? Because Omer Mutar. He thought she was Muteret. She thought she was not an Eshadish. Right? So what could we have answered to him again? He should have looked into the matter more carefully. So since he didn't, and he said Omer Mutar, he took her, and yet we say, what? You're going to die for that. What do you mean? Die Bidei Adam shows you Omer Mutar is Chayav. So he says, oh, Bidei Shamayim. What do you mean? How do you know that this mate over here is Bidei Adam? He says, and number two, Zekanami, I can prove to you, I'm right, Dichtiv, Mechatoli. Mean that when Hashem speaks to Abimelech, right, he says that it's not that the sin is against man, but the sin is against the Kosh Baruch. I prevented you, Mechatoli. I prevented you from sinning to me. Which indicates that Hashem is the one who is bringing the charge here, is the one who is going to take the elbow for Sarah over here is Bidan, Ayidei Hashem. So that sounds much more like the fact that he's getting punished with Bidei Shemayim. That should be approved to Rav Chisda. Ule Tameich. So Rav says back to him, okay, if you think that's the case, what does it mean? V'chatati lelukim. When Yosef says about Eshet Potiphar, when she says about Eshet Potiphar, I cannot sleep with you because your husband gave me everything except you because you belong to him. And how can I do such a thing with Chatati Lelukim? So Mary said, so now Rabbi wants to say, you want to say Lelukim Lola Adam? Right? What does that mean? Lelukim Lola Adam means that what Yosef, now we're talking about a case of Eshetish, and you're going to say that Eshetish is only with Chatati Lelukim and not Adam? How can you make such a diuk? Elo, dino masur li adam. That, what does it mean over there? No, chatati lelukim, eno chanami, it's a chet lelukim. But who adjudicates the case? Who lays out the verdict? It's bidei adam. The bnei adam give him the death penalty to take care of a chatati lelukim. So also over here, chanami, dino masur li adam, also by Abimelech, it's the same thing. It's bidei adam. Meaning that, what about Michatoli? Yes, the sin is against Hashem also. But who's going to carry out the verdict? Who's going to deal with the situation? That's Masur Lidei Adam. Right, so now, Eitbei Abayi L'Rova. Abayi now challenges Rova. Now remember, Abayi also is in the same position of Rav Chisda. Abayi is the one who asked about Omer Mutar is Anusu. And that's the same position that Rav Chisda takes, that Omer Mutar is Anusu. I should have pointed out earlier, but the Girsa here, it's unclear whether the Girsa really is Rava here. In all the cases, the Agos Abach changes the Girsa to be Rabba and not Rava. Right, so throughout the, you see in Rashi and Tosfos and in the Gemara, every time it says Rava, he's switching it to Rabba. But, alright, Eitvei by the Rava. Agoy Gam Sadiq Tarog. So this is again that case about Avimelech, where he says Agoy Gam Sadiq Tarog. So Avimelech makes a claim to Hashem, and he says to Hashem basically, Agoy Gam Sadiq Tarog, how could you kill me over here? I had no clue that she was an Eshet Ish. I am an innocent victim of the plot by Sarah and Abraham not to tell me that she was an Eshet Ish. So if that's the case, he makes a claim, Agoy Gam Sadiq Tarog. Right? How could you kill someone who is innocent? And it seems from the continuation of the story that his claim is accepted. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his claim, but still, you got to return the woman. Why? Because I'll read it like Rashi does, which is, this is actually part of the answer now, which is, no, Hatam Kedimahadri Eloi. We know from the answer of Hashem that he actually does not accept Avimelech's excuse. You could have read the Tzukim to say that Avimelech says, Agoy Gam Tzadik Tarog, and Hashem says, Enoch Nami, but still give back Sarah. You still have to give back Sarah. You're right. You are innocent in the sense that you took an Eshet Ish. And I accept your claim. And that's the way the Gemara's Havamina is over here. That we're accepting his claim, and therefore, this is a question on Rava, who says that you're Chayav. In a case where it's Omer Mutar, or in a case where I should have looked into the case more carefully, and I didn't, that, right, what is Rava says? Chayav. And over here we have from the Pesukim that it's Patur. So along comes the Gemara and says, no. Rava says, no. That's the way, how did Hashem answer Avimelech? Ata Hashem Eshet Ish Ki Naviu. Return his wife because he's a Navi. So the Gemara asks a simple question. Eshet Navihu, Ditaader, the Lav Navi, Lotaader? Avimelech only has to return Sarah in this case because he is a Navi. Had he not been a Navi, there would be no requirement to return the woman. She's an Eshet Ish. The requirement to return the Eshet Ish should be because she's a married woman, not because Abraham is a Navi. What is the relevance of Abraham being a Navi over here? This is what Hashem responded to Avimelech. Vata, Hashev Eshet Ha'ish Mikol Makom. Period. You have to turn this woman because she's a married woman. Period. Ukeda Amart Agoy Kam Tzadik. Oh, and you wanted to say that I'm innocent over here because I had no clue that she was an Eshet Ish? Tarog. Right? Agoy Kam Tzadik Tarog. Alohu Amarli Achotihi. Didn't he tell me that she's my sister? What was I supposed to do? Navihu umimchalamad. He's a Navi, and he learned from you. What did he learn from you? This is the famous Midrash. Achsanai, Shabbatir, right? A guest that comes to a city, right? So, Shabbatir, aliskeachila ushtia sholimoto. What's the questions that you ask to someone who's going to visit a city? Do you have food? Do you have drink? Do you have a place to stay? That's the normal form of conversation. Klum, sholimoto, ishtachazu, achotchazu. Who comes in and asks the first question you ask to a guest in the city? Is this your sister or your wife? That's an inappropriate question. And from here, the conclusion according to Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani is that we know here that a ben Noach who claims ignorance of the law, number one, Omer Mutar, or number two, where he should have looked into the situation more carefully and doesn't, in that case, like Rava says, Chayav. Chayav, and that applies to a ben Noach as well, that you're also chayav in this case, because hayal olamud, velolamad. You should have learned, and you didn't learn. So based on that, Rava, it ends up turning around the whole situation. Rabbi brings it as a question on Rava. Rava, how could you say that you're chayav in this case, where ba'omer mutar, or in a case where you should have been ma'ayin more carefully, how could you say chayav? We have a case of Avimelech, who answers Hashem and says, Agoy Gam Tzadik Tarog, I'm innocent to you. I had no clue that she was an Eshet Ish. And it seems that Hashem acquiesces to Avimelech's claim, by the end saying, give him back anyway, give her back anyway, because he's a Navi. But doesn't mention in the end that Avimelech is Chayav, or Avimelech is guilty in any way. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Shmuel Nachmani comes, no, you don't know how to read the Pasuk. The Pasuk is Hashevet Eshet Ish, period. You gotta return this Eshet Ish. That's number one, you're right. You gotta return the Eshet Ish because that's the law. Number two, about you being a goy katzadik arog, let me tell you something. Navihu. And Navihu, why? What is Navi, him being a Navi, have anything to do with getting his wife back? The truth being, the psukim, the reason is because v'yitpalo ba'adecha. He'll daven for you, meaning that Abimelech and his family is facing Yisurim, Ayyadei Hashem. So when he's a Navi, he's going to, that's what the pasuk, the pasuk in the pasuk is that he's a Navi, he'll daven on your behalf, and that'll free you from the Yisurim, or he'll know that you never did anything to Sarah, and therefore he'll daven on your behalf. That's why the Navi is relevant. Over here, the Gemara says, no, well, you know why the Navi is relevant? Because that's why the answer to Agoy Kam Tzadik Tarot, you are not innocent. How are you not innocent? Because Navihu. You know why he told you sister and not wife? Because you asked the wrong question. When he walked into the city, what did you ask him about? Did you ask him about, you know, where are your accommodations for the night? Where are you staying? What are you eating? What are you drinking? No, you asked him about, is this your sister or is this your wife? What type of question is that? So he was already suspicious of the motives of the individuals here, and he was afraid for his life. So that's why he said, Achoti, you were misled because of, you took the wrong approach. And the cause for the misleading information was your own conduct. And therefore, you're guilty over here. You're guilty over here because you conducted yourself inappropriately, and you didn't look into the matter properly. All right, so now, Gemara Minu Mishnah, which is, Asuma Enu Goleh. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Suma is not going to Galut. We'll see why. The Psukim are, the Miutim in the Psukim, we'll get there in a second. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Gole. Meir, on the other hand, says he does go into Galut. Ha, Sune, Eno Gole. Someone who hates, we'll have to figure out what that means, but a Sune, Eno Gole. Yossi Omer, a Sune, Neerag, Mipnei Shehu, Kimuad. Not only is a Sune not going to Galut, he's classified like a murderer. And if he's a murderer, he's going to be put to death because he's now considered to be a Mezid. There is no category of shugeg for esune. Shimon Omer, yesh sune gule, yesh sune shenu gule. It's not clear. There are certain times when a sune will be put into galut, certain times not. Zeklau, kol shi yachol omar ledat harag, eno gule. Any case where we could be suspicious of the motives or how the death took place, meaning that the circumstances are somewhat suspicious, over there we say that he could have intentionally killed him, and therefore, Enu Golet, because he's Karov the Mezid, or even Mezid, possibly total Mezid. Shalola Dat, if it's clear that whatever action he took, he could never have intent to kill this person, because the circumstances dictate or show that he had no clue the other person was there, then, if that case, when he killed, I raise the Golet, he does go into Golut. Alright, now Gemara wants to know about Suma. What's Machlokus about? Tan Rabbanan, the pasuk says in Masay, when he killed him, he said below reot. He did not see the other individual there. It wasn't below reot. Prat v'suma. Why is it excluded suma? Because below reot indicates over here he didn't see, but in other places he does see. So that's prat v'suma. Divei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, below reot the rabotet suma comes to include a suma. Now, in Ochanami, Rabbi Meir agrees that the below reot would come to exclude a suma. Ah, so why is he saying now it's a rabotet suma? Because another issue. My time ma. The Rabbi Yehuda dictiv, Asher Yavo et Reo Bayar afilu Suma. So Asher Yavo Reo Bayar. Some two people come into a forest. The Torah doesn't qualify who these people are. It could even be a Suma. But then it says afterwards, Ata below Ra'ot. So below Ra'ot comes into Tishu Umiate and excludes the Suma from here. So anybody could have gone into the Yar. And now when it says below Ra'ot, it's someone who doesn't see here but sees somewhere else. So that excludes the Suma. Mayor below Ra'ot, Lema'et Bivli Da'at. Lima 8. So wait, I have below Ra'ot in the pasuk that says, that's a mute. I have Bivlidat, which we learned earlier, means Bivlidat velo mit kavein. It's an exclusion, right? We said Bishkaga velo bimezid, right? Bivlidat velo bimit kavein. That we saw in the Tosefta that we brought, the first Tosefta we brought earlier on. And then, if you have that, then you have in the pasuk a mute. Achar mute. And what's the din of mute? Ach mute, and mute, ach mute, ala le rabot. So it's miyad achmiyot al rabot, eino chanami that below ra'ot should be excluding a suma. But I have two miyutim in a row. So now I have two miyutim, one of them is going to come to rabot. So he says below ra'ot, instead of being a miyut for suma, now turns out to be a riboy for a suma. For miyuda, b'lidat, prata mitkavein, hu ta'ato. Right, that's what we have. We already had the b'lidat. B'lidat, he uses prat li mitkavein. So he has a usage for each one of the miyutim. The same miut is not coming to exclude the same individual. It's not both of them coming to exclude a suma, and therefore it's miut achamiut al rabot. Rather, each one of them I have a use for. I have the miut of lo raot for suma. I have the miut of blidat velo bimit kavein. Now, what happens to Rabbi Meir? What does Rabbi Meir do with the fact that he doesn't now have the lidat, right? Lema'et et mitkaven. We had before in the Brayta Tosefta it said shkaga, right? Lema'et et mezid, bevlidat lema'et et mitkaven. So now all of a sudden Rabbi Meir doesn't have lema'et et mitkaven because he thinks both miutim are referring to a suma. Both miutim are referring to a suma. What does he do for mitkaven? So Tosefta says that he puts it under the subcategory of mezid, prat mezid. It says mishkaga. We'll learn two things. Rabbi Meir sevar prat mitkaven shmeina mishkaga v'tarte shmamina. By Brayta Del, Atik Rabbi Yehuda. That means that the earlier Brayta that we brought was only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Meir. Alright, Rosi Omer Sunen Erak. So, Halo Achube. What do you mean he's gonna put to death? They didn't give him Atra over here. He's a Shugeg. Where's the Atra over here? They say, all of a sudden Sunen gets put to death. Mazet Matitan, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. We know this already because the Gemara already asked on Rabbi Yossi's position. And the Gemara said, Ha Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. There's a difference in their opinion. So this Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaver, Eino Tzarich Hatra. A Talmud Chochem, or someone who's knowledgeable in Torah, does not require Hatra. Why? Fishalon in the Hatra, Lavchim Ben Shogei Demezid. What's the purpose of warning of the Hatra? It's to move a person from the plane of Shogei, of accidental or manslaughter, Bonomar, to the plane of murderer. So that's why you need Hatra for it. Now, Sone already has that. We don't need the Hatra to bring him to that plane. He's automatically in the plane of, he's going to do it with intent. Because a person who's a Sone, why else would he be in a position where he's going to kill this individual? Because he wants to be in a position to kill this individual. And therefore he's assumed to be a Mezid. That's the answer. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda believes that the whole idea of Hatra is to move from Shogeg to Mezid. If I have another piece of evidence, or another item that will tell me that he's a Mezid, then I don't need Hatra. What's the evidence over here? The evidence is that he's a Sone. So that brings him to the point of Mezid. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Sone Golev, Yesh Shein. Tanya, Ketzad. Ketzad Amar, Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Sone Golev, Yesh Sone Shein Golev. How do I know which is which? I mean, what's the determining factor? What's the, right, what's the line, the dividing line between Sone Golev and Sone Golev? So Nifsak, again, if the rope breaks, Golev. This is what I was saying to you before, right? Nifsak hachavel, gole. Nishmat, eno gole. If it slips out of his hands, then he doesn't go into galut. Why? If it slips out of his hands, all likelihood is that there's more intent involved here. We know he hates this individual. The guy's under him, he's pulling something heavy up, and it slipped out of his hands. So over there, the circumstantial evidence leads you to believe that there was more intent than just simply slipping out of his hands. Now then, if he's pulling something up, and the rope snaps on the way up, there you can't make a claim of intent. What, he on purpose put a thin rope on there and pulled it up while the guy was under it. Already there you're starting to stretch the situation. Here it's more likely that he is a shugig, and that's an intent. You have to look at the rope. You have to look at the situation. I'm just saying, but here, you have the likelihood is that the circumstantial evidence does not point to the fact that he did it with intent over here. And again, I told you that in the Mishnah, when I talked about Derech Aliyah versus Derech Yiridah, not that there's a difference, but the fact that the Mishnah worded it in that way, that Derech Yiridah slips out of his hands, whereas Derech Aliyah, the rope snaps, again, tells you that this is more Karov Leonis, and the other one is more, right, Karov Lemezid, or more Chamur. Vatanya, we have a problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Olam Enu Gule, Ad Shishmat Mechalatzo, Machtzalo Miyado. That until the Machtzalot falls out of his hand, then he is put into Galut. So what is the case of Machtzalo? So it's interesting that a Machtzalot, today, we spoke about this on Erev Shabbos, by the Mishnah, about the Magela. Well, the Magela was a tool to smooth out the line top. So we said there were two opinions. Tosus thinks that it was a roller. So a big wheel, a roller that they use out, you know, when they're paving the roads, they use those rollers. That was what it was. Rashi says, if you're now here, when you see them building sidewalks, they have this big piece of wood on a, you know, on the same, on a yadid from a squeegee, and they're moving the piece of wood back and forth to layer out, to flatten out the layer of the cement. That's what Rashi claims it is. So now, Rashi says over here, what's this? Machatzalo is a trowel. Right, when they put up bricks, when you have a bricklayer, if you ever seen somebody licking bricks, they take a brick, they take the cement with the trowel, they put it on, and then they smooth out, and they flatten it out. So that's as it says machatzalo over here. So until the machatzalo falls out of his hand, right, then he is chayav. So now when it says kasha, right, kasha why? Kasha nifsak on nifsak, kasha nishmat on nishmat. Now we have a problem. Nifsak on nifsak, in one case he said, right, nifsak a chevel does not go into galut. That is not mentioned in the other brayta. And over there, it's only talking about nishmat. But Nifsak HaChevel, he doesn't go into Galut at all. Yet in the first case, we said that Nifsak is the case where he goes into Galut. Because that's the case of Galut. Now, in the second Kashi Nishmat of Nishmat, we said, in the first case, we said Nishmat, when it slips out of his hand, right? Or Mishamet, Mitoch Yado, we said that's the case of Galut. Over here, he's saying Mishamet Miyado, right, is Eno Golek, because it's Karov Mezid in the second bright side. It's Karov Mezid, and that's the case where he doesn't go into Galut. So there's a Kashi. So now, the Gemara here has a Girsa, which seems to me, and it both, when Tosus raises the issue, Rashi raises the issue, Rashi could see in Rashi, right? The Girsa is reversed, over here it makes more sense. And Rashi goes out of his way, there's a huge Rashi to explain why he thinks his Girsa is correct, and not the Girsa that we have in front of us, which is, Nifsak a Nifsak lo kasho. Nifsak a Nifsak is not a question, ha Rebbe, ha Rabbanon. Because one is the opinion of Rebbe, one is the opinion of the Rabbanon. And the other way around, which is, Nishmata Mishmat lo kasho, ha bohev, ha bisuneh. Okay, so that's the Girsa, reversing the Girsa makes more sense, and now let's explain it. By Nishmat, or Mishamet Mitoch Yado, there we say what? What's the difference between Soneh and Ohev? When it slips out of his hand, when he says Soneh, what do we call him? We call him a Karov Lemezid. Karov Lemezid, he's not going to go into Galut. An Ohev? Right there, we're going to say, slips out of his hand, no problem, then he goes into Galut. That is the case, and the Mishnah, that's the first Mishnah that we discussed. Somebody falls, Derech Yimidah, falls out of his hand, goes into Galut. That's the case of Ohev. Nifsak and Nifsak Lukasha. That is Rebbe, and that is the Chachamim. Rebbe and the Chachamim we also met before, which is Rebbe and Chachamim argue about what, which is Vinashala Barzel. Right? Vinashala Barzel, Vina Eitz, what is the problem over here? Is Vinashala Barzel Eitz means that the iron from the axe flew off the handle? Or is it that when you hit the object, something from the object went flying out? Right? So that's Rebbe, Ha Rebbe, and that's Ha Rabbonon. So over here, what are we going to say? We're going to say, by the Rabbonon, when they say that the nifsak, the rope breaks, and he's goleh, evinim by a soneh, that's koshkem bohev, that's the Rabbanan alibid Rabbi Shimon. Why is that the Rabbanan alibid Rabbi Shimon? Because that's exactly what they say. They say that the metal flew off the handle. What's the equivalent of the metal flying off the handle here? The rope slipped out of your hands, or something slipped out of your hands. That's the case where the object that's falling fell out of the holder. The holder before is the adit of, or the handle of the axe, and the axe went flying off the handle. And over here, you are the equivalent of the handle, and the object, or the iron is the object you're moving. So that's what fell out of your hand, or the trowel, or the magela fell out of your hand. So therefore, that's what the Rabbanan say. Rebbe says in that case, and he said in the Mishnah before, that's the case where you don't go into Galut. Now you only go in Galut when that object flies out and then hits something else and causes damage from that point. Alright, so that's the differentiation that the Gemara makes over here, which is that Rabbi Shimon, we're actually going to have different categories over here. We have a category of Ohev and Soneh. And within Ohev and Soneh, when it comes to the case of Nifsak HaChevel, it'll make no difference if he's an Ohev or Soneh. Why? Because the overwhelming evidence is that there was an accident, because the rope broke. Once you have an accident, then we have Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim about the accident, what type of accident you need to go into Galut. And that's Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim. On the other hand, when Nishmat, when it falls, or Mishamet Mitoch Yado, when it falls out of his hands, then we have a problem. Then we have a difference between Ohev and Soneh. By Soneh, when it falls out of his hands, there's questionable motives over here, and we're going to say that he is not going to Galut, he's Karov Mezid. Then it falls out of his hand, when he's in Ohev, there we say, no problem, go into Galut, because that is an accident. That's exactly what the first Mishnah spoke about. Right now, the Gemara says, Eichan Gulim. Where does the person go into Galut? So the Gemara says, Larei Miklat. You go to an Larei Miklat. The Shlosh Shebever Yardin. The Shlosh Sheberetz Kenan. Right, there are three Arei Miklat on the eastern bank of the Yardin, and there are three Arei Miklat on the western bank in Eretz Kenan itself. Shneemar. It says in the Pasuk, Et Shlosh Arim Tenu Me'ever the Yardin, Et Shlosh Arim Tenu Eretz Kenan. Right, so there the Pasuk tells us three on each side of the Yardin. Ad shenolunim v'charu shlosh be'eretz Yisrael. Until the three became functional in Eretz Yisrael, lo ayu shalosh be'eretz Yardin kotot. The ones in every Yardin didn't work. Shneamar, because the Torah says, sheish amrei miklat tiena. That the Torah is kolel, puts them together in a single entity, which says there are six arei miklat. So that means, when are they tiena? They will be six arei miklat. So that's ad shiyu shishtan kotot, ke'achat. So until all six of them are functioning, none of them can work. So therefore, even though Moshe separated out of the three in Eber Yadin, they don't become functional until Yeshua puts them into service on the western side. And the answer, the difference between those two will be 14 years, which is Kibush V'Chiluk. The time that they conquered and they did the division at the end of that point, then Yeshua says to the people, I'm giving these places as the Arei Miklat. So once Yeshua gives an Arei Miklat after those 14 years, then the ones in Eber Yadin go into service. Umikuvanot lahem drachim izuluzu. You have to have clear paths and directions to get to them. Shnevar tachim lecha derech. You have to have prepare the way for the goel, so that the goel adam does not kill the one who's going to galut. You have to make it clear that it's easy for him to reach the Arei Miklat. That means both that you have to have good roads and you have to have good signage. You need both of those. Ushloshet vechulei umosrim lahem. I'm sorry. Tachim leradecha bishilashta. So that's it. Mosrim lahem shnei talmidei chachamim. We give two talmidei chachamim shema yargenu baderech. So that we give him two talmidei chachamim to accompany him to going into the Arei Miklat, in order that if the goel adam comes along the way to kill him, they'll be able to talk him out of it. Veidabru elav, and they'll talk him out of it. Rabbi Omer, who midaber, or afu midaber, he can speak for himself. Ayidei atzmo, he can speak for himself. What do you need two talmidei chachamim? He can speak on his own behalf. Shneamar, v'zeh dvar harotzeach. Dvar means the dibur of the rotzeach. He can speak and he can defend his own position. After a murder takes place, whether a person is a mezid or a shogeg, that's a good question, right? We'll see that in the Gemara, whether he thinks that you don't send them at all, or you send them but for a different purpose. Okay, so that's what we'll deal with in the Gemara. Right. Does not matter, right, whether a person is a shogeg or a mezid, they run to the Arei Miklat. As soon as there's a murder has happened, you run to an Arei Miklat. Then Beitin Shochim Umevin Otomisham. Then Beizdin comes and asks for him to show up in court so they can adjudicate the case to determine whether it's a mezid or shogeg. Shogeg, right? So then at that point, Mishnit Chayev Mita Beitin or Go. If he's Chayev Mita, they kill him. Shlonit Chayev Mita, the one who's not Chayev Mita, Patrua, they let him go. Mishnet Chayev Galut, Maxirino told him, come on, and they return him to the Arei Miklat, or the Ir Miklat. Shneamar, Beishivo Oto, Eidai, Ir Miklato, they'll return him to the Ir Miklat. What do you mean return him? Return him means that he was there already. Why was he there already? He's there already because all murderers go to the Arei Miklat. And then we have a case, the court case comes, the court case determines, Patur, Chayav, or Galut. And then he goes back to Galut, is killed by the Beit Din, or he goes free. I mean, that's the determination afterwards. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosharim Ibdil Moshe Be'er Yadin, Uchnegdan Ibdil Yoshua Be'eretz Canaan. That Moshe divided up three cities on the eastern bank, and Yoshua, in parallel, divided up in Eretz Canaan. Mukovanut Ayu Kamin Shtei Shurot Rekem. And they were parallel, like two rows of a vineyard or an orchard. They are lined up. They're on the same parallel lines. Chevron Yehuda, which is the southern Ir Miklat, is Chevron Yehuda connected Betzer Bamidbar. So that's the equivalent to Betzer on the eastern bank. Shechem Behar Ephraim, which is the middle Ir Miklat. The Shechem is in the Har Ephraim, right? They were today in the Shomron, right? It's connected Ramot Begilad. That is opposite or parallel to Ramot, is in the Gilad on the eastern bank. Kadesh Behar Naphtali, which is the northern Ir Miklat, and then Naphtali up in the north, which is Kadesh, Keneged Golan Babashan, which is again like the Golan, Golan Babashan, which is on the eastern side of the Ardain, which would be the equivalent of the what we know as the right the Golan today. Vishloshet Vishilashta. Sorry, Vishilashta, you have to divide up into thirds. Shiyu Mishulashim, that they should divide into thirds. What does that mean? Shiye Midarom Chevron Kimi Chevron Ushchem. Oh, mechevron l'shchem, kemishchem l'kadesh, or kadesh, right? Oh, mechevron l'kadesh, kemikadesh l'tzafon. So that's the division over here is really you divide the country up into quarters. At the end of each quarter, you have an Ir Miklat. That means from the border of Eretz Yisrael to the first Ir Miklat is the equivalent of the first Ir Miklat to number two, from number two to number three, and the three to the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. That's what I say. There's equidistant between the borders of Eretz Yisrael and every one of the Arei Miklat. So there you have a layout. These three, what does it mean? Shilashta doesn't mean thirds, but it means really a quarters because they lay on the, right, the lines that divide the quarters of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara will ask a question. There are going to be two questions, basically, which the Gemara is going to ask, which is number one, is why is it that you have three in Eivar Yardain for 2.5 Shvatim, and you have three in Eretz Yisrael for 10.5 Shvatim? That we'll deal with tomorrow. That's tomorrow's answer, which is, why is it that you need three on each side of the Yardain? It doesn't seem to be logical. It doesn't seem to fit the population that is on either side of the Yardain. The number two question is, why is it this really does not divide Eretz Yisrael again evenly? Because what ends up happening is that people on the border of Eretz Yisrael actually have to run, right, or have to go to Eir Miklat. They have to go to
traverse.
The ground that they have to cover is the full distance of the quarter. Whereas anybody who lives between any two of the other Eir Miklat will never have to go more than an eighth of the distance. Meaning that he can never be, if the Eir Miklat is spans over a distance of a quarter of Eretz Yisrael, then when I'm at the border, you're right, I'll have to cover, ground-wise, I'll have to cover the entire quarter to get to my Eir Miklat. On the other hand, if I'm found anywhere in the center of the country, by definition, I could be no more than an eighth away from an Eir Miklat. Because the land is divided into quarters, I can only be, if I'm exactly between these two Eir Miklat, then I'm an eighth away of distance away from each one of the Eir Miklat. So we have to answer that question also, which is, number one, why is it that Eivar Yardain has the same number of Eir Miklat as Eretz Yisrael itself? And number two is, why is it that when it comes to the borders are found much further away from the people in the center from the Eir Miklat? Okay, we'll stop over here.